A few years ago, I got the idea that I wanted my own brand for women to sell women's clothing and lingerie, but I had no idea where to get started. But then I found Shopify. Shopify is your no excuses business partner. Sell without needing to code or design. Just bring your best ideas and Shopify will help you open up shop. One of the biggest obstacles for a first-time shop owner like me is having no e-commerce experience, but Shopify simplified everything so much that the site has become the least of my worries. From the graphic design aspect to making customer service super easy on my end, there's nothing you can't do. They give you everything you need to take control of your business, even as a beginner. Sign up now for a $1 per month trial at shopify.com/forthegirls, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/forthegirls now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/forthegirls. Life doesn't happen biweekly, so why should payday? The money you earn can be in your hands today with Earn In. Earn In is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. Just download the Earn In app and verify your paycheck. Then access up to $100 a day as you work and leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. I'm headed on a trip to Aruba, so I had to go on a huge shopping spree for all new summer clothes, so I know that's exactly how I would use the money I got from Earn In. So make Earn In a part of your financial routine and join Earn In's over 3.5 million customers who say things like, "When I think about Earn In, I think about financial stability, security. It gives me a lot of peace of mind." Download Earn In today, spelled EARNIN, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earn In app, type in For the Girls under podcast when you sign up. It'll really help the show. For the Girls under podcast. Earn In is a financial technology company, not a bank. Subject to your available earnings, daily max, pay period max, and location. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
Settling is not an option for me. Everything I desire is already mine. What if you can have it all? Because every day is for the girls.
Hello, hello. Welcome back to another episode of For the Girls. I'm your host, Victoria Alario. And today, we're going back to the basics because I think a few girls need a reminder. We're going to be talking about cheap men, broke men, sprinkling a little bit in there about those low effort men, all of the above, because I have been seeing some videos on TikTok and I'm just like, I think these girls need a refresher. And we're going to get into it right away. But before we do, I just have to announce who next week's guest is. I think you girls are going to be so excited about this. At least I know I am. I'm very much excited because we have Heidi D'Amelio on the show next week. So next Monday's date from today will be April 22nd. So have your eyes and ears peeled and opened and ready, because that's going to be by far my biggest interview that I've done thus far. And I'm just really excited about it and I'm proud of it. And I think you girls are going to love it. And I think it was a relatable conversation for people of all ages. And I mean, if you guys don't know who that is, by the way, like, I might have said her name and you might be like, who is that? You have to at least know who Dixie and Charli D'Amelio are. They're like the most famous girls on TikTok. They're huge little celebrities now. I say little because they're like young girls to me, but they are in their 20s. Well, I think Heidi said that Charli is about to turn 20, so she's still 19. And then Dixie's a little bit older, so soon to be both in their 20s. And anyway, she is their mom. So, yeah, pretty big deal, pretty big stuff. It's coming out next week. We just recorded like 2 days ago, and it went really well. And I'm really, really looking forward to sharing that conversation with you girls. So yeah, I wanted to give you all the heads up so that you know from now, next week's episode is big and it's gonna be good. So anyway, let's get into today's episode. And off the bat, I'm gonna give you girls a big reminder of, I think, probably one of the most epic sayings or quotes or stances, whatever, that was shared on this podcast. And it was shared by Crystal Earham a while ago. I just looked to see when our episode was. And this was the last episode I put out of 2021. So literally my first year in podcasting. Wow, because it only came out. I think my first official episode was September 2021. So we're going way back a couple years ago. The episode is titled Successful Women and Dating, What High Value Men Fall For with Crystal Earham, Love and Manifestation Coach. I'm also kind of cringing that I made the title say High Value Men. I feel like at the time that was a new term. And now that I've heard everyone on TikTok really like beating you over the head with like high value man, high value woman, like I really cringe at that term. And I don't know, I don't really like think it's normal to refer to people as high value, because then what are you calling other people, like low value? Like, I don't know, I feel like that's so weird. So I personally don't say that. I haven't really said that in a while. I have felt strongly against that term in a while, and I don't even remember making that the title of that episode. But in any case, that is the episode, and it's from December 2021. But the saying goes like this: if he can't afford a date, he can't afford a wife. If he can't plan a date, he can't plan a future. And I really want that to sink in for you girls. And if you haven't heard that episode, I really recommend that you do go and listen to it. Don't let that like high value title, you know, steer you away. It's a very, very good episode with a lot of insight, a lot of value in there. And that is something Crystal has shared with me since I worked with her way back earlier in 2021. I think it was like January of that year. And I invested in working with her because she really knew what she was talking about. And she made a lot of things make sense about having high standards. And I did, for the most part, always have higher standards than most because I didn't settle for really fucked up things. But I still was like teetering on that line of being single and bored and accepting things that didn't 100% feel good or feel right to me. Sometimes I would just be like, let me just go, you know what I mean? But there were so many times where I did experience cheap guys. And when I say cheap, I don't only mean cheap with their money. I mean cheap with their time and effort too. Like men who just don't want to pay for anything, who don't want to plan anything, don't want to have to go that extra mile. And, you know, there were definitely times where I accepted that. And it was during our coaching where she had said that to me for the first time. And I was like, all right, I gotta get her on the podcast to share it with you girls too. And I'm gonna say it again to make sure it's like crystal clear, no pun intended, Crystal Earham, crystal clear. If he can't afford a date, he can't afford a wife. If he can't plan a date, he can't plan a future. Now let yourself like think about what that means for you. What is your experience right now with the guys that you're seeing? Do you feel like they're maybe putting more on you to take over that role, you know, for them, and they want you to step more into their masculine? Are they trying to like gaslight you into it without really like admitting that that's, you know, where they stand? Why I'm saying that is because the TikTok that I was referring to, so Caitlin Regan is the creator, and she was seeing somebody, and I watched like two of her videos. I got tagged by my followers in these two videos being like, we need your thoughts on this. This reminds me of you. And so she just ended things with a guy, and she shared two stories. First, she shared the initial story of why they really cut things off. And it was because he did something really sketchy. She said, you know, he took me to dinner at a nice place, which he always did. He always took me to nice places, you know, like really upscale, went all out, blah, blah, blah. And so we were on a date. It was like the fifth or sixth date at that point. And after dinner, he said, let's go to this bar next door. And she said, no, like, I don't really want to go out for drinks. I'd rather just like go back to one of our places and hang out because I just really don't want to have more drinks and I don't want to go to a bar. He convinces her against her, you know, better judgment. He convinces her to go. And then when they go and they do have drinks and whatever, because she, you know, just sucks it up and goes, which is, that's kind of like what I mean when I say in the past, like, yeah, like I did have high standards, but Crystal really helped me get out of those types of situations when you kind of feel like you can't fully, like, I don't know, whether it's saying no or stand up for yourself, you just kind of like let it happen and then you like end up regretting it afterwards. Those are things that I definitely dealt with in the past. Anyway, so they're there, they have their drinks. I don't know, they rack up a tab and then he tells her he's having an issue with his credit cards. He got like hacked, something, someone stole like his social security number so he can't use his cards. And she thought that that was like really sketchy because he literally just took her to dinner. But he's like telling her, I can't pay for this. Can you put it on your card and I'll Venmo you? And she did, which, you know my thoughts on that. She should not have, but whatever, she did, and that's fine. She felt comfortable doing that because he told her, I will Venmo you back. And she would assume he's a man of his word and does what he says he's going to do. Then fast forward days, I don't know, maybe even weeks go by, and he just never brought it up. He never offered. He never sent her the money. It was as if like the holding didn't happen. So she called him out on it. This is the fucking best. She called him out on it. And it wasn't even about the money at all. It's just about you doing what you say you're going to do. He said, I'm going to Venmo you. He could have and should have Venmoed her in that moment of the transaction. She put it on her card and he could have Venmoed her right then and there. But at least, if not then, the next day or over the next few days, and he just totally let it go and never brought it up. So that's where she felt like, this is weird, this is sketchy. Not so much of like, you made me pay. It was just like, what was the deal with that? This whole story that you made up about not being able to use your card. And he went ahead and told her, I've done enough for you. I've taken you to dinner and a million times at nice places and spent so much money. And this is like, I deserve these drinks. Essentially, he just threw everything in her face and was like, why should I give you the money back? Like, that's the least you could do, basically, is what he told her. And it's just like, what? Like, what the actual fuck? Like, this is what I meant when I said, like, people show their true colors eventually. This is why you have to do your vetting hardcore early on. This is why you have to cut things off early on. Because if you ignore the red flags, which I'll talk about because she made like a follow-up video saying she ignored the red flags. If you ignore the red flags in the beginning, they only get bigger. They do not go away. They're going to continue showing themselves. And she made a follow-up story time saying like one time, you know, he came over to help her pack. I guess she was moving or maybe she was going away. I missed that, but she was packing. He came over to help and he told her when like earlier in the day, like, okay, when I come over to help you pack, I'll order us dinner. I'll order us food. But then when he came to her house, I guess he like wasn't hungry. He never brought up the ordering food. She was hungry, but he was like, oh, I'm not, basically. Like, he just didn't go ahead and order food, which is what she was kind of banking on for the day because he said it. It's not to make her look like she needs his money. It's not to make it look like she needs him to feed her. It's just the point is that if somebody tells you, oh, when I come over later, I'll order us food, clearly she wasn't going to eat beforehand because she was anticipating eating with him. And he told her, I will order food for us. So why should she go ahead and offer? He said he was going to do it, so you should just do what you say you're going to do. So I know that there's probably people who will think like, oh, well, if she's so hungry, she could have ate whatever. Yes, she could have, but he said he was going to, so she was expecting him to do that. Therefore, she relied on him, and she went according to the plan. She did exactly what he said they were going to do, so she waited on him. Nothing came of it, so then he left, and she made herself food. Because she wasn't about to fucking cook for him. That was not the plan. He was coming over to help her pack and order food. So when he left, she cooked herself dinner. He was texting her, asked her, what are you doing? She said, oh, I'm cooking dinner. And he was like, cooking dinner? Oh, why didn't you tell me you were hungry? I was going to order us food. She was like, no, the fuck you weren't. Clearly you were avoiding it because she's like, I did say I was hungry, but you said you weren't, and you didn't like say, oh, what do you want? Let me order it. Like, he just kind of like let it go and ignored the fact that she wanted to eat. And so he tried to gaslight her and was like, no, like, you should have told me. I totally was down to order. Like, no, the fuck you weren't. You're saying it now because you're out of the situation. You're saying it now because now clearly you're not gonna order, right? You already went home. She's already cooking dinner. So now it's easy for you to try to gaslight her and tell her like, oh, but I would have, like, oh, yeah, likely fucking story. Now that we're not together anymore, sure, yeah, you would have. And that was a red flag that she ignored, because that was before this date where he threw everything in her face and said, like, I deserve those drinks. Now they cut it off because of the way he spoke to her, basically. But the point is, I constantly tell you girls, don't ignore these things. I'm not saying it like Caitlin listens to my podcast and I'm like, oh, I constantly tell you, Caitlin. But I just mean I constantly tell you girls. And I feel like I still see people talk about ignoring red flags. Even like the Dear Victoria segments that I get. You know, it's funny because they'll say like, I listen to every episode. I love your show. But tell me, what should I do about this? I've been seeing this guy and I found that he was still texting his ex. And, you know, he said they were done, but they're just friends and they were catching up and blah, blah, blah. And then he ignored me for 3 days. He told me he just like had a lot going on. What do you think about this? What do you think I think about this? That's the bigger question. What do you think I think about this? Really? Like, y'all know where I stand. My mindset is never going to change. I've been preaching the same stuff since 2021. Think about it. I am bringing back right now in April of 2024 what I talked about with Crystal in December of 2021. Okay? So nothing about that is ever going to change. And here's the thing with this guy, it's not like I can 100% say if you can afford a date, because to some capacity, I guess he can. She said in that TikTok, like, you know, this is like our sixth date. He always took me on nice restaurant, two nice restaurants on nice dates. So clearly he was taking her nice dinners and paying the bill and all that. So he could, but it's that he doesn't want to have to keep that up. He doesn't want to have to provide for her. He doesn't want to have to buy the drinks if he bought the dinner. So therefore, he's cheap. And it really makes me concerned for men like this who date women like her, because clearly that's what she wants in a man, right? She wants a man who can take care of things. She wants a man who's generous and is not going to use it against her and say, well, if I paid for dinner, then you owe me drinks. I think in the video, she actually used those words like, you owe me. He said something like, those drinks were owed to me. Not just like, I deserve them. It was like, you owe them to me. So if that's your mindset, where it's like, you as a man, you owe me this because I did that for you, it actually scares me what a marriage with a guy like that will look like. And I specifically say girls like her because this is always how it goes. This is a girl who's gorgeous. Of course, off the bat, that's a plus because men are very visual creatures. That's already their standard. Women have a different set of standards. Men, looks is always like the first thing for them. So she's a beautiful girl, but then the icing on the cake, you know, she's successful. She has built like an amazing life for herself. She has a lot going on. She has a lot going for her. She's fun. She's cool. She's all of these things. So of course she's very attractive to men. And of course that's the kind of girl he would go for. But guess what? That's the kind of girl any guy would want to go for. That's the kind of girl that any guy would want to be with. Therefore, why I say it concerns me that men like him go for girls like that is because you know then that what you lack, another man will be able to give to her. So when they do these things like he did with the drinks, oh, that's owed to me or whatever, it's like, how do you think a long-term relationship would have worked with her? Because she would never settle for you. Women like her, girls like her, come with a set of standards. And guess what? They get their standards met. So if you're not going to meet her standards, somebody else will. So how long were you going to keep up this facade? Luckily, you know, it came out before it was too late. But this is why there's that saying, if you can't afford a date, you can't afford a wife. And to go even deeper, to break the layers down of that even more, is like, date within your budget. Like, go for the girl that you can afford to be with. Let's not even say if you can't afford a date, you can't afford a wife, because like I said, clearly this guy in some capacity can. I mean, he's been doing it for however many weeks of going out with her, but there's like the unspoken part to that saying, like the deeper level to that, which is, okay, say, yeah, sure, you can afford a date, whatever. But you have to be real with the type of women that you're going for, because everyone is in a league of their own, right? Everyone has a different set of standards. Some women are fine with splitting the bill. Some women are fine with taking care of things financially all the time. But there's that's going to be a different type of woman. It's not going to be a woman like Caitlin. It's not going to be a woman like myself where you look for certain things that you see in that woman, but that woman always comes with a certain set of standards. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around the weight of different stressors in life, and no matter how big or small, when we keep them bottled up, it could start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's not just for those who've experienced major trauma. Therapy can even be there to just empower you to be the best version of yourself, or to also help you practice setting and enforcing boundaries too. So if you've been thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can even switch therapists if need be at any time for no additional charge. Therapy has never been made so easy before. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/forthegirls today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/forthegirls. We're all girls here, so I think it's safe to say we all agree that we mostly look forward to going home every day simply so we could take our bras off. We wear bras because we have to, not because we want to. But today's sponsor, Honeylove, just might be the thing that changes that for you. Say goodbye to underwire and bulky fabrics that make you sweat. Honeylove has started a revolution of bras you actually want to wear. Their bras feature supportive bonding that eliminates the need for underwire altogether without sacrificing lift. Plus, they're made with fabric that's so soft, it'll feel like a second skin and you'll forget you're even wearing it. For a limited time, only you can get Honeylove on sale. Get 20% off your entire order with our exclusive link, honeylove.com/forthegirls. Support my show and check them out at honeylove.com/forthegirls. I personally started wearing Honeylove over the summer and was in shock of how comfortable I felt in their bra and shapewear. I'm a huge shapewear girly, especially for special occasions like a wedding, to wear under a dress, and sometimes they're just so uncomfortable, too tight, they roll down, they roll up, and end up becoming more of a burden than anything else. But I felt so confident wearing Honeylove. It was a totally new experience for me, and now I swear by them. So treat yourself to the best bras on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/forthegirls. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off. That's honeylove.com/forthegirls. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support my show and tell them I sent you. Treat yourself to Honeylove, because you deserve it. So imagine a long-term relationship or a marriage with a woman who has that set of standards, which she's very much entitled to have because, like I said, any man would go for her and she will easily find a guy who has no issue giving her that lifestyle. So you don't get to like go for the top shelf pick if you can't afford the top shelf, essentially. So imagine, like I said, having that mindset like, oh, that's wifey, like that's wife material, but you're not husband material, you're not a suitable option for her. You gotta be real. You have to date within your budget. There is plenty other options out there for you. I'm not saying that he can't get with anybody at all, but you gotta be real. You can't be DeLulu when you're trying to date. Marriage in general is expensive. Like, for these men who only offer coffee dates because they can't afford to go out to dinner, like, guess what? Having a wife is gonna cost you a lot more. So if you can't pay for a plate of food, how are you gonna have a wife and kids and a house, like, and all of these things? So that's something that should be an actual concern. And I don't necessarily mean it in a way that it's not possible. I mean it in a way that it's actually something that they should work on, something that they should prioritize before even dating. Because if you don't have the financial means to date, then you don't have the financial means to have a wife. Therefore, you should probably get your financial situation together before you start dating. If this is how they are in dating, imagine how much worse it'll be when you're their wife. Imagine how much they will hold over your head. I actually saw another TikTok video where This was a different type of situation. This was not about whether or not he can afford, but it was Paige DeSorbo. She did like an interview, I think. I saw it on TikTok. And they asked her something about like her success and money. And she said, what really made me make sure I can like be good with my own money and take care of myself was when an ex-boyfriend of mine booked our, they went away somewhere and booked their flights. And she asked if they could change the time, if they could leave earlier. And he said to her, basically, no, because I paid for the flights. Like, if you want to change it, then you'll have to pay for your own flight. And it's not the same thing as like, you can't afford a date, but it's still in line with like, don't be fake generous. Don't offer to buy flights. Don't put them in your name and take care of it if you're only going to then use it against her afterwards and make it like, you know, you have this like control over her. Like, oh, well, I did this for you, so you can't change that, or you can't do that, or you owe me this because I did this for you. I don't care how much money you have. At that point, you're not a generous person. You're still cheap. And if you've never experienced generosity before, you might not be aware that it really does exist. And you might think this is normal to date guys like that and these situations and the things that they say and the way that they hold things over your head. Like, you might think that guilt tripping is normal. Like, oh, well, he did do this, so I do have to do that for him. But trust me, it is worth waiting for. Take it from me. I've been talking about this stuff long before I met my boyfriend. My boyfriend's taking me to Aruba next week. I cannot wait. Peace out, bitches. I need a tan and just to chill by the pool and drink and eat and lay and rot in the sun all day. So I cannot wait. But point is, yeah, sure, he bought the flights, like he took care of the trip, but it was never like, then we're doing this on my watch, on my time. It has to be this. It's always, do you want to go here? How does this look? How do these flight times sound? Do you like the way that, like, it's still a team effort because we're still both involved and he still wants to make sure I'm happy. He's not using against me like, well, this is the time we have to go, or this is the time we have to leave because I'm the one taking care of the flights. I mean, I'm the one who picked the hotel because he's actually never been to Aruba. I've been, and I love this hotel in particular. And it just like wasn't even a question. It's like, yeah, I've been to Aruba 2 or 3 times now. I love staying there. Let's stay there. Okay, sure. Booked. You know what I mean? Like, that's what generosity is. It's not expecting things in return, or it's not saying things have to be only on your terms and I'm not even going to ask your opinion or what you want because you're not the one paying for it. That is not how it's supposed to go. Now, not everybody agrees like about this sort of financial dynamic in a relationship. Some people are into 50-50, and that's perfectly fine if you are, but at least that means that you have an understanding of being 50-50. It doesn't mean that one owes the other person something. That's not held over your head. It's at least we know, okay, you got dinner tonight, so I'll get dinner the next time. Like, you have that agreement. Not like, I got dinner, so now let's go take out your card for drinks. Like, you owe me drinks after. There's just a different energy. There's a different understanding and an internal, even maybe an unspoken agreement. And now, while we just talked about a lot of fake generosity, let's just talk about openly and outwardly cheap or broke or low effort. Like, the men who just refuse. The men who just can't afford a date or can't plan a date. It's alarming to me because I don't know what these men think that they are in for when it comes to marriage. They all want a wife and kids. I don't know about y'all, but I live alone. And groceries for me, individually, one single person, are very expensive. Very expensive. My rent, everything in between, my bills are high, and I live alone. So if you're going out with a guy or you're talking to a guy and he can't even take you to dinner and he can only do coffee dates or going on a walk, like this cheap or free shit, I'm sorry, that should be a red flag for you. That should raise some concerns. That should make you say, like, what's the deal? Why can't he take me to a nice dinner. And when I say nice, it does not have to mean Carbone. Like, it doesn't have to be a Michelin star restaurant. It just has to be a nice romantic dinner where we can get appetizers and entrees and a cocktail. And I don't have to feel so like confined and restricted to like just coffee and crumpets, like whatever the fuck. Like, you know, half the time when these girls meet a guy for coffee, the guy doesn't even pay for the coffee because they don't get there at the same time. So they go on the line at different times. Yes, I've heard this plenty of times. Oh, he got there first, so he was already sitting with his coffee. So she met him, she got online, she got herself a coffee, or vice versa. Like, he showed up so late, so she was already there for 15, 20 minutes. She wanted her damn coffee, so she got it before he got there. Like, it's just unromantic. It goes to show that they have no intention on paying or covering the bill, like just taking care of anything. And they also don't have the means or don't want to plan a date at all. This is easier for them. And when you think about it, the future and like progressing in a relationship requires planning. It requires a man being able to tell you what his intentions are with you, where he sees you going, where what he wants for you guys. If you were to ask this man, what are your like 6 month goals for us, like 6 months from now, what's going to be happening, how are we going to progress, or a year, okay, a year from now, where do you see us, exactly like this, just grabbing coffee, like what do you anticipate for us? What do you intend for us? What are your plans and expectations for us 6 months to a year from now? Can he actually tell you that? Would he be able to tell you? Because it's really important that you know what someone's intentions are with you, especially if you're like underwhelmed or unimpressed by those dates, which I don't even think you should go on a second date or third date, whatever, if you're unimpressed by someone in the beginning. But just say that you want to like give them a chance and you met for coffee and you're like, eh, that was like whatever, but we'll see where things goes. Especially then, you need to make sure you're asking them like what their vibe is, like what they enjoy to do. Like, do you like to even go out for dinner on the weekends? Do you enjoy romance? Like, what is your ideal lifestyle? What type of relationship do you want to have? What do you want for us, like as a couple? What would be that like ideal like scenario? What are the things that you would want to do with your partner? Like, what goals? Yeah, what goals really do you have? Like, okay, say that you're single and you're looking for a wife. They all say they want a wife. What does that look like for you? What kind of husband do you want to be? What type of husband do you see yourself as? Let's see if they can answer that question, okay? Let's get that one crystal, crystal, crystal clear, because they all want a wife. Everyone's ready for a wife, but do you want to be a husband? Are you ready to be a husband? Do you just want a wife, or do you want to be a husband? You have to want to be a man who's willing and able and capable to take care of a wife and kids. Are you willing and able and capable of doing that? Does that even cross your mind? Because I'm convinced when I hear about these dating horror stories, men are looking for mothers. They're looking for wives to take care of them, like their mommy used to do, or maybe even still does. So you really, really, really need to pay attention to the effort that they make, the way that they talk about dating. Like, some guys will straight up say to you, like, say that you matched on like a dating app and, you know, that first date sometimes isn't fully romantic. It almost might feel like a bit of a friend thing if you are two complete strangers, you know, just matching 2 days ago and just meeting for the first time. Sometimes they like to talk about dating, which happens, you know, you're on a dating app. It's no secret that you guys met through a dating app. So you talk about dating, and guys will talk about dating to you and saying like, oh yeah, like girls like always expect like these expensive dinners. And it's like, first of all, I'm not your bro. Don't talk to me like I'm a bro. And second of all, like, Is that how you view dating? Just like girls using you for dinner? Because that right there just goes to show how they view dating and romance and chivalry, and they don't actually enjoy giving. They don't actually enjoy providing. They don't actually want to take you out to dinner and pay for you. They're doing it because they feel like they have to rather than wanting to do that. That should be right there a red flag from day one of like, okay, this is going to eventually bite me in the ass, right? He's going to eventually use this against me. After he takes me on two or three dates, he's going to turn around and say, why don't we just go back to your place? Why don't we just hang out at my place? I don't really want to go out tonight. He's going to start to like feel the weight of paying for dinner, and he's not going to want to go out anymore. He's going to start to shift into lazy dates, and even before you're exclusive, he's gonna just start inviting you over his house. And then the other way to pay attention to how they speak is about planning a date. I remember there was a guy I was talking to years ago. This was, might have been 2020. It was before I worked at Crystal, I think. I don't know, maybe it was after, but it was just so long ago. It feels like a lifetime ago. Anyway, his whole thing, he always asked me out. Mind you, we never actually went out, even though he asked me a million times. And every single time he asked, he just never got the hint to plan. It was always asking when I'm free, asking when I'm around, do you want to get together tonight? And never, I was thinking of taking you here, or would you want to get dinner? It was always asking, and I'd be like, well, what did you have in mind? Because that's a big thing, girls. I would not give somebody your availability until you know what they had in mind first. If they're like, oh, are you free on Friday? I don't care if you are as free as a damn bird. You do not say yes without knowing why they're asking. Your first question should be, why do you ask? Or what do you have in mind? And then see, if he turns around and says, oh, I don't know yet, I just figured I would see if you're available and then we can make plans, that right there is a fucking no. If they say something like that, you say, let me know what you have in mind and I'll let you know if I'm free. I don't care how sassy that is. Your time is so valuable. You are not giving a man your free time to then help him plan a date for you. Like, where is the chivalry? Where is the romance? Again, if you can't plan a date, you can't plan a future. And anyway, this guy who always did that to me always would say, I'm bad at making plans. How the fuck are you bad at making plans? Do you live under a rock? Because I could be a better man than you is what you're essentially telling me. I could plan a whole date. I could pick a restaurant. I could pick a place to go for after for a nightcap. I could plan a month's worth of plans, a year's worth of plans with the amount of restaurants that I've been to or restaurants that I've just heard of and things that I know are fun and nice to do and places to go and plays that we could see, performances that we can see. Like, there's so many things that we could do. And I know that I'm not a unicorn. I know that I'm not special. I know that I'm not just hearing of all of these things and no one else knows of these things. I know a million things that we can do. Classes we can take for fun, places we could go, things we could see. Like, you mean to tell me that instead of just coming up with something, you would rather tell me I am bad at making plans? And you know what else too, girls? That always just tells you when a man is wasting your time because he clearly doesn't like you enough. Because think about if you were his dream woman. If you were his dream woman, do you think if he has you in the palm of his hands texting you, giving him the fucking time of day, that he would tell you, his dream woman, I'm bad at making plans? Or do you think that he would say, before I respond to this, let me get a plan in place. Let me make a reservation. Let me tell her, hey, I'm thinking Friday, 8 p.m., I pick you up, we go here. How does that sound? That's how he would treat her. But guess what? Those men always tell on themselves anyway, because usually they fuck it up even with their dream woman too, because they really can't maintain that vibe. They introduce you to an energy that they can't keep up with. And so that usually like goes to shit anyway, but sometimes it actually works out because why? You're their dream woman and they're like, well, I'm not going to lose her, so I'm going to do anything and everything. And it just like tells on themselves. I mean, I think a lot of girls have seen that with their exes. They've seen their exes like move on to a new relationship and do things with the new girlfriend that they didn't do with them. Like, you know, it is a heartbreaking feeling. I know, like, when girls see it, like, you know, he was with me for years and he didn't do X, Y, Z. I used to beg him. I used to try him to get to do all these things. And now he's taking her here and taking her there and blah, blah, blah. Like, I understand that that's a shitty feeling, but it is the truth. Sometimes men have to learn from those experiences with you. Like, you have to, like, almost in their life story, in their life's journey, you have to, like, be the one who, unfortunately, the collateral, you have to be the one who teaches him those things that he needs to learn and needs to do for the woman who will ultimately be right for him. You, unfortunately, were not right for him, which is why he couldn't give you what you wanted. He wouldn't give you what you wanted. He didn't want to give you what you wanted. He was lazy about giving you what you wanted. However, he learned from those things because he heard you. He heard what the needs were. He heard what the desires were. He saw when and how he hurt you. So he did take those lessons and learn from it and apply it to his new relationship, which is why he's making somebody else that much happier. Happier than he could have, unfortunately, ever made you. But the good news is that somebody else is going to make you a million times happier. The great news, the amazing news, the best news ever is that he wasn't right for you. Like I said, you weren't right for him. You weren't the right girl for him. All that means is he wasn't the right guy for you. So get excited about that, knowing that the right guy is still out there and you're going to find somebody a million times better suited for you. And speaking of exes and just not so generous men, I was just having a conversation with someone and we were talking about generosity and just like this generation and, you know, how cheap a lot of men are now when it comes to dating. And more specifically, or more importantly, I should say, it's not just about the dollar amount, it's not just about the money, it's about how cheap they are with, like I said in the beginning, with everything, with their money, time, effort, all of the above. They want to receive the most by doing the least. It's like, how much can I get by doing the bare minimum? That's what it seems like the energy of this generation is. And we were talking about like our upbringing and how like our dads treated our moms and our grandpas treated our grandmas. And we both realized that both of us, all of our grandmothers never drove, like my grandmother on my mom's side and my dad's side, and she was saying the same for hers. So growing up, I, and to this day, like I have always witnessed my grandfather's driving my grandmother's around, like being basically their chauffeur. And my dad's parents, they passed away, but they were married for like over 60 years. And you know, even up to the end, like he was taking her to the beauty parlor, like she was getting her hair done all the time, like just anything. And my mom's parents, my grandmother, geez, I mean, she's 80 years old and she still works, which is crazy. She's just, those Italian grandmothers, they can't sit still. They have to keep moving. But she works. She works like 4 days a week. My grandfather, he's 83 or 84. Every morning and every afternoon, he drives her to work and then he picks her up. And then on the weekends, he drives her to go grocery shopping. You guys know I have my Sunday dinner every week. If you see my stories on Sundays, all the food and everything. So all week long, he's taking her to work, taking her home, taking her grocery shopping, getting all the food, getting everything ready. Like, it's like having a live-in chauffeur. And, you know, and they're married now. We had their 60th anniversary. So this year will be 61 years that they're married. And I'm talking married, not even together. Like, they're together for even years longer. So over 61 years of driving her around, never had a license, never had a car. And I just think about all the dating stories that I hear and just everything that we all talk about here on the podcast and on TikTok and whatnot. And I'm like, imagine asking these men who want to go 50-50. They want to split the bill. They want to split everything. They can't take care of anything. They're, oh, you have to meet me here. What about that guy? I shared that story time where he came by me for the first date and then he was trying to force me to go to him for the second date. He's like, well, that's what's fair. That's what he was like 40. A 40-year-old man was like, well, I drove to you for the first date, so it would only be fair if you drove to me for the second. Like, talking about this fairness and you have to do this because I did that, or what about the drinks, the story that I shared with the girl in the beginning of the episode, like, oh well, I paid for dinner so you owed me those drinks were owed to me because I've paid for everything. Like, these guys just want to be treated like women, and they throw it in your face anytime they do everything for you. Anytime they do anything, not everything, because trust me, they don't do everything. Anytime they do anything for you, they throw it back in your face. It's almost like they've been taking notes, like they're tallying it up. How many times did I make the effort? How many times did I go out of my way? How many times did I pay? Okay, now it's her turn. But at the same time, they want a highly feminine woman, yet they're expecting this woman to take on the masculine role. And I'm not saying you can't ever pay for anything. Like I just said, my boyfriend is taking me to Aruba. Of course, a couple of the dinners, I'm going to pay for them. Of course I would. I've done that in the past. Like, anytime that I want to show, you know, that appreciation, like, thank you so much for always taking care of these things. Like, I have no issue covering dinners here and there and whatnot. I don't not pay for anything. There are definitely things that I pay for. The point is that it's just not expected. And it's especially not expected because I do fulfill my role, like my feminine role. You guys see all my cooking videos, like I'm the one who makes the dinner, like I take care of those date night ins and like all of those things. So I fulfill my role, and that's why I get to stay so highly feminine, because he doesn't expect me to take on masculine roles, even if sometimes I want to pay or want to treat just to show appreciation. Like, that's perfectly fine because that's coming from the heart. It's not expected. It's not owed. He doesn't feel like it's necessary. It's just what I feel is right and what I want to do. And I also am just a generous person. So I do love to give. I do like to spoil the people that I love. Like, I enjoy doing that. And that's why I also can speak so much on generosity, or the lack of generosity that's existing in dating. Because I'm like, if me as a woman could be generous because I just love to be generous, I've always been generous, how the fuck are these men thinking that they're gonna get a wife, a highly feminine woman, in their corner when they lack that? It's actually so bizarre. Like, I don't know where this like entitlement of men thinking that they are owed a feminine woman who also wants to go 50-50 came from, because quite frankly, that doesn't exist. And I feel like we've gotten so far removed as a society, as a generation, from chivalry and from masculine energy and feminine energy, that it's become controversial for someone like me to say what I'm saying here, to speak on this topic. It becomes taboo or insensitive, when the reality is, this was the original way, right? Like, men used to have to earn to a woman, like a feminine woman, they used to have to do anything and everything for her in order for her to even give him the time of day. Nowadays, men are the ones expecting flowers. I don't know how many people are really speaking up the way that I do when it comes to this type of stuff. Like, I was watching that video about the girl, like I mentioned in the beginning, and I almost felt like she felt uncomfortable to say what she really wanted to say, which was like, this guy is cheap. He's kind of love bombing her by doing like the nice, expensive, cool things, but you know, he's not going to be able to maintain that energy. Like, you could just tell people don't want to sound shallow or whatever. I don't even know what it is. People just don't want to get canceled. That's what it is. People don't want to get canceled. You don't want to get on the internet talking about, this guy is broke, this guy is cheap, this guy is not a masculine man, and then everybody comes for you in the comments like, but what about equality, and what, you should have paid for the drinks, and you know, he doesn't have to be masculine, like, you know, that then everybody gets like their feathers ruffled and all that. And so a lot of people don't feel comfortable saying those things, and it's become really the norm to just accept. To just accept everything is gonna go Dutch, everything is gonna be split skis. But you know what? Like, I'm sorry, in a marriage, that can't even exist. It's not possible. This is why I say, weed these people out from day one. Check out these red flags right away. That was another thing when I just said, oh, I was having a conversation with somebody about her ex, and we were talking about our grandparents and all that. She said, like, But don't you like think then that like leaving at like the first sign of something negative is like leaving too soon? No, not for nothing. I never, ever, ever in my life thought or hoped or assumed or expected that my love story with the love of my life would be, yeah, I had to keep giving him chance after chance because, you know, he had so many red flags in the beginning, but I just had to keep giving him a chance because I didn't want to give up too soon. I just never thought that that would be my love story. It doesn't mean that somebody was going to be perfect, but I at least was never going to ignore red flags that were showing right in my face from day one. So this is why I say leave right away before you've invested too much. Because listen, if you ignore those red flags and then you're 6 months down the line, it's a lot harder to break up because now you're invested rather than leaving after the first or second date because that was like basically a stranger. So why I'm saying that and comparing it to marriage is because what about if you want to have kids? How are you going to be 50-50? Is he going to also get pregnant with you? Is he going to also breastfeed with you? He's going to have to be the father, right? And you're going to have to be the mother, right? Like, those are two completely different roles. So how do you get to live 50-50 when you actually can't be 50-50? It's quite literally impossible. And even aside from the kids thing, because not everybody wants to have kids, and that's perfectly fine too, because even if you don't, you as a woman, you're going to get your period every single month of your life until you go through menopause, right? Which could be in your 50s. So say you're in your 20s now, you got another 30 years of getting your period for a week every single month, which means your hormones are going to be all over the place every single month in a way that your partner absolutely cannot relate to. So how do you go 50-50 when, again, it's quite literally impossible to be 50-50 people because you're not two men or you're not two women. You're a woman and a man, therefore things are not equal. That's just it. Until he's going to get his period alongside you every single day, he's never going to understand what it's like to be in your shoes, to be a woman who goes through mood swings and highs and lows and a lot of pain and like suffering from their period every single month. And I might be like going on a tangent here and kind of getting off track, but it's just part of this problem. You know, that's why I do talk so much about like compatibility and knowing these things early on, because if marriage is the end goal, you guys might be able to come to some agreement on like the 50-50 thing and it'll be communicated properly and understood properly and handled properly. But if that's not the case, if it's just something he low-key wants, but like tries to act like it's not, whatever, he wants this, but he also wants that. He wants the feminine woman, but he also wants to go 50-50. He wants to be the man, but he also is gonna make you owe him things because he took care of that. If that's the case, it's just not gonna work. It's not going to work. There needs to be clear communication on what your dynamic is from the beginning. Otherwise, if you want a masculine man, then you get to be a feminine woman with that man, and that's it. There's no other way for it to be 50-50. These are two different people who fulfill two different roles, and that's a great thing. There's an amazing sense of harmony there. What one lacks, the other has a strength in, and vice versa. And it is absolutely okay to acknowledge that and to know that and to understand that and to want that dynamic. Don't be afraid of what society is saying. Society is trying to eliminate that harmony and the diversity between men and women altogether. Yeah, we want to be equal in the sense of women should be allowed to vote, right? Women should be allowed to have credit cards, right? Like, yeah, it's a little crazy that back in the day, women didn't have rights, period. But that's not what I'm saying, right? Like, let's not be silly. I know a lot of people like to hear whatever it is that they want to hear, but I'm not saying let's abolish everything and go back to the 1950s. No, it is 2024. But that doesn't change the fact that no matter what year we're in, men and women are different, period. So we don't need to abolish that difference altogether. We don't need to merge and act like we are one and the same. It is okay to want a masculine man and to want to be a feminine woman. That is perfectly fine. And when you are doing your vetting and you are doing your dating, if that's what you want, look for that and leave when you see those red flags. Walk away when you know that this is a cheap man, a man who does not want to plan, who does not want to provide, who does not want to step into that masculine role. Date the guy who, if you didn't have your license, if you didn't have a car, would drive you around for 60 years. Date the man who would be your chauffeur, because that would mean making your life easier. Date the man who adds value to your life, not takes away from it. Pay attention to when a guy can't make plans for you. To when the guy is only, oh, what are you doing tonight? Yeah, maybe we could chill. Oh, I'm bad at making plans. I don't know where to go. What do you want to do? Pay attention to these things. Is this what you want for your future? Is this what you want in a relationship? No? Okay. Then let it end there. And speaking of ending, that is all we have for today. I didn't really have a plan for what I was going to say. I just kind of rambled. I had no notes. Usually when I do that, I end up listening to the episode on Monday and I'm like, damn, I should have added this, I should have added that. So I'm sure there will be things that I wish I would have said or added, but I had to just give this refresher for all the girls out there. So don't forget, next week is Heidi D'Amelio, okay? So you're gonna wanna hear that. And also before we go, I have to please, please, please kindly ask you girls to leave reviews for the girls. If you have not so far, please, 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 again, kindly, I ask to, if you're listening on the Spotify app, to leave 5 stars. And then also you can answer the question box per episode. So you can't leave a review for the entire show. You could just answer the question after you finish listening to each episode. It'll say, what did you think about this episode? You could leave a review there. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, you can leave 5 stars and 1 general review for the whole show. You'll just scroll down to the bottom of the For the Girls page and leave that there. Also, if you have not yet subscribed to For the Girls on YouTube, please do that. It's just at For the Girls. That's where you'll find the profile. Subscribe. I am now uploading video for my guest interviews. So I think 2 or 3 of my guest interviews already have the videos up there now. I do upload every single episode, but for the most part, they are audio only. But now my guest interviews do have video. So the Heidi D'Amelio one will be up there visually on YouTube for you girls to watch. So you girls can head over to YouTube. You can watch those episodes if you would rather do that, like see it instead of listen. So like the videos, comment the videos, give me some feedback, please. I'm trying to grow the YouTube channel. Any way that you can show support for the girls helps me so, so much. So that is all we have for today. Thank you, girls, so much for listening. Until next time, girls.
Hey, I'm Charlene Joint, and you may remember me from season 18 of The Bachelor, and this is my husband, Andy.
Hello.
Together, we host Dear Shandy, a relationship podcast where we answer all your burning relationship questions and satisfy your guilty pleasure, aka bachelor needs.
Not only do we provide the best bachelor recaps in all the land,
so we're told,
but we even bring on your favorite couples from Bachelor Nation for live double dates.
Subscribe to Dear Shandy. We guarantee belly laughs, razor-sharp advice, and to never take ourselves too seriously.